Hey guys, it's Bran. We were going to do a different episode today, but Ed Asner passed away over the weekend, and we have a couple of Ed Asner episodes ready to go. So this week and next week are going to be Ed Asner movies. So rest in peace, Ed Asner. This week we have The Christmas Star. Next week, Christmas on the Bayou. Ed Asner, a true legend. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Ed.
This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I just love classic ABC Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I just despise classic ABC Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and... classic ABC Christmas movies are a lot. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
October is here, baby.
Countdown to Christmas right around the corner.
My gosh.
We know at this point, that Hallmark's going to have 96 new Christmas releases this year. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to feel like that. I'll tell you that much, yeah, Dano. It's going to feel like that. But boy, things are just kicking off here in just a few weeks. I believe only two more of these special Mondays episodes.
For the year. That's right, Alonzo.
And then Alonzo, we're going to give you time to breathe and watch some stuff on your own.
Then join us for Deck
the
Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark throughout the season.
Yeah. Do you ever just watch something just for the sake of watching it, Alonzo?
I used to. Nowadays, not so much.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's a tough life. It's a tough life out there.
It's the life I chose, and I'm not sweeping up in a slaughterhouse. So, you know, I'm not complaining about the gig.
When you write the book on Christmas movies, I think it's what you hope for,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man.
As I think you guys get the idea, if you can monetize the thing you'd be doing anyway, then, you know, then you're ahead of the game.
This is what I'd be doing anyway. I'd be watching the TV movies.
That's exactly right. You'd be watching Christmas movies all year with a couple of pals.
Classic. Daniel, it's your dream come true.
That's right. Never doubted it for a second.
Man, we did a doozy today.
Something is a doozy. We did a doozy. I've just never heard it before.
We did a
in
doozy.
Your pants, baby. I don't know.
My pants.
Oh boy, you set them up, huh? Rick, you've ever done a doozy in your pants?
Oh, so many times.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do the doozies at Fitzy's down there.
What does it mean
Fitzy's
when you
says do the doozies night?
Do the doozies night.
And you're not going to believe this, but they take cream sherry and they put it in Mountain Dew with a Grand Marnier Floater, and you got to shotgun that mother.
And it's called Do the Doozy.
Do the Doozy. That's what it's called. Now, you must have been there. That's where you heard it from.
I think I just heard it from you, and it's just in my subconscious.
Do the Doozy. I say that from time to time. Yeah. It's a thing. It's getting around. It's like 4 for 2.
That is
like wildfire.
4 for 2 is not a thing.
It is a thing.
It's not a thing.
You're a thing.
Because people still... Alonzo, what's a 4 for 2?
Rick has tried to explain this to me on so many occasions. It's something about putting a Foreman grill inside the other one and turning it upside down to get both sandwich sides.
Yeah, both of you couldn't be further wrong than you are, but Alonzo gets it more than you do.
You say, though, you put in how many?
4.
Right. Right, you put in 4,
yeah,
and then it becomes 2?
No. It's 4 for 2.
Right.
You got 2 grill pans.
F-O-R?
4 burgers.
F-O-U-R?
4 burgers.
4 burgers.
Or chicken patties, or whatever you want. You can go veggie. You can go hippie if you want.
4.
Throw some tofurkey on there.
So 4.
4.
Of those.
For 2.
And then what's the 2 mean?
2 sides. It's double-sided. You know how...
everything is double-sided when it comes to food.
To flip it and reverse it?
Yes, I do know that.
Think about that. Have that. Have Missy Misdemeana Elliott in
your head. I always do.
And then think 4 for 2.
But food is 3-dimensional, therefore always has 2 sides.
Get your freak on.
The Christmas Star. Go ahead.
I got nothing.
The Christmas the Christmas Star originally aired on December 14th, 1986. On
that was a guy at Fitzy's that had too many Do the Doozies. We called him a Code Dead.
That's funny because it's Code Red, but he's since passed.
You're catching along.
Dude, did he?
Oh, we got a Code Dead. They sign a waiver beforehand. I mean, it's not anything to feel bad about.
Just because someone signs a waiver,
it's all on board. They signed a waiver.
It doesn't mean you should not feel bad when they pass.
It's a Code Dead. I know what you want from me.
So you're telling me when somebody, you know, let's just say someone bungee dives and the bungee breaks, you don't feel bad for him?
No, I feel bad. That's not a Code Dead.
So it's only Code Deads that you.
Yeah, that's right.
December 14th, 1986 on ABC, and it went a little something like this. Con artist Horace McNichol is an old dude who's in prison, has no Christmas spirit. When he hears someone talking about the Christmas Star, he just laughs it off and goes to his room. He doesn't care about no Christmas Star. He doesn't care about a Christmas party. But he does figure out that this Christmas party could be used to his advantage. And so it's happening. There's this lady serving food. There's a brass band. And there is a Santa. We then see Santa say, oh, I gotta go get a refill of my gifts. He walks out, and then we just see him running and laughing, and we're like, well, that doesn't seem like what a normal guy would be doing. Suddenly, we see a guy hopping out. He's tied up, and he's like, someone stole my suit. And we realize at that point that that Santa was McNichol, and McNichol is now on the lam. We then meet these two kids. One is named Billy. One is named John. They're at a Christmas parade. John rips off Santa's beard and says, Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper, fatso.
It's a great line. Billy's not having that. He's very upset about this. We know that that John has a miserable father, and John's father owns the stretch of apartments that Billy's family lives in.
That's right.
He finds his dog. His dad won't let him keep it, and so he leaves it on the porch. And McNichol is trying to find a place to hide. And so he finds this basement thing, you know, like he opens up the shaft, he goes down, and it turns out that it's old Billy's basement. Billy's basement, saw him live.
Yeah, Billy's
and,
basement. They opened for McNichol on the lam, yes. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they did. And McNichol at this point is convincing these kids that live there that he is Santa Claus. And that word spreads fast. And McNichol is like, well, I guess I can use this to my advantage. And I can get these kids to help me find this money that is been stored in a department store.
Yeah,
it's the hiding place for this money. And so they end up helping him get the money in the process. All these kids are believing he's the real Santa, and he starts to tell them, you know, what do you want for Christmas? All right, great. That's wonderful. And there's John gets upset with Santa, stops believing him because the dog passed away. It's this whole thing. He's like, you know what? I don't believe in this Santa anymore because he can't do what I need. McNichol realizes that the kids are pretty great. They're good kids. I don't want to be a bad guy anymore. And so McNichol, he's being hauled away in a police car after John turned him in, and he sees a Christmas star. And it's at this point in time that everything that the kids asked for Christmas starts to come true, like snow falling, puppies hanging out. The mean landlord starts to let people keep their apartments. And McNichol just looks on, and he's happy as can be. We see him in prison. He's a changed man. He's singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing with a prison choir. And that, my friends, was the Christmas Star.
We did it. Yeah, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there, and there's more I left out. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. We didn't even get to the ghosts.
Yeah, they put a six-hour miniseries into a 93-minute movie.
A lot going on here. We're going to break it down after this quick break here on Deck the Hallmark. Wow, Wow, what a good one. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, we're talking about The Christmas Star. 1986, we watched it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And this, I think, isn't this what Disney Plus was created for?
Come on.
To be a place where you could watch stuff like this.
And it's all there and available, too.
It's all there. Just, they never take stuff down.
Never.
The Christmas Star. Let's talk about it. Alonzo, we're going to start with a hot take. I'm going to start with you. And I want to know, had you seen this movie before? What's your thoughts on it? All of that good stuff.
I had not seen this before.
Wow.
I never heard of it, frankly. Wow. But, you know, it was there on the Disney Plus Christmas menu. And I was like, okay, Ed Asner, it's Christmas at Disney. And it aired on a major network. Like, sure, let's give this a whirl. I mean, the Ed Asner of it all is pretty great. Like, he spends most of the movie being very grumpy. And you want to see a guy, Ed Asner, in a Santa outfit being mean to children. Like, who doesn't want to see that? But boy, the last 20 minutes of this movie is a ride.
Out of bounds. It's crazy.
And they just go so, there is so much Christmas spirit and redemption and catharsis and all the other things that it's just like, whoa, slow down, movie. Let me take this in. Almost to the point where it's just, they're clearly trying to overwhelm you with all the Christmas so you don't ask too many questions. But yeah, it's something else.
Yes, it is.
You know, this movie has all of the makings of a really great Christmas movie and also all the makings of a really bad one. Yeah. And they put them all together. There is a fantastic Christmas movie in here with Ed Asner, Santa, getting Christmas spirit. All of that is really good. But then there's just a ton of really weird stuff that goes on in this movie that is just insane. There is a scene, 5 to 10 minutes, he's got his money, he's trying to escape, he's on a train, and there's someone else on this train that keeps turning into different people, and then he turns into someone else, and then he jumps off the train, and that train disappears. What is that doing in this movie?
It's like a one-act play of the Christmas Carol done in 5 minutes.
Yes.
It is just wild. Out of nowhere.
Like, I was 30 minutes into this movie, and I was like, this is awesome. I love this. Dude. And then just weird stuff starts to happen that's just not necessary. And that's unfortunate because there's so much of this that is truly awesome, truly Christmas. I loved it. And then there's just so much that I just was so baffled when
we're
I was watching
like 5 minutes in, like they're telling the story in the prison and then Ed Asner escapes in the Santa suit and they start playing the music and Bran looks over at me and he just starts nodding. Yeah. Like, yeah,
we found it.
Just right in my veins. This is the stuff.
Found
and
it.
Then from there,
I'm thinking, how is this not a Christmas classic?
Yeah. There is a scene
how indeed
where he gets the money. These children all bring him a bag of, as they put it in the movie, a 500,000 smackers, which I just wanted to say so badly, so I fit it in there.
We had 500,000 snackers, and yeah, that was a mistake. A
big mistake. That amount of cacao, we just never recovered.
That will take you down.
Yeah, you think Cookie Palooza's bad. The screen's just covered in
half a million snackers.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
So much nerds.
Nerds everywhere.
Everywhere. It's out of control.
Those of you that don't get that reference... Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But I'm not sorry.
Yeah. But you should, because it's great.
That cacao count, which I also saw live with the nerds, it's just a dangerous combo, cacao count. It's a weird one. Yeah. It's a bunch of Count Chocula's on stage. Yeah. So there's a part in this movie where just a gaggle of children bring mean Santa Ed Asner a bag of $500,000, if that's a smacker conversion that I think it is. And I look at Brandon, I was like, this movie's almost over. Like, he's about to learn his lesson and be like, okay, I did this for the money and I really should have been doing it, you know, to help others. And I'm going to go set it straight. And I'm going to use the money to, you know, whatever, and turn myself in. And instead we get just 20 minutes of like Terry Gilliam presents. Like, I don't know what to make of the last 20 minutes of this movie. It's just asinine. Like, I don't know what else to say. He's on a train that may or may not be there. There's a guy with a beard that turns out to be like a wispy beard. And like, there's just, it is wild. And it's, unfortunately, it's wild and not fun wild, because your body is already, and your mind is already like, this movie should be over. And so it's not wacky Nunu in the middle. It's at the end, and you're just, and it just doesn't, none of it sits right. I mean, Ed Asner, I didn't realize how much Christmas work he, we were talking about this beforehand. I didn't realize how much stuff he's done that's Christmas related. He has been in something Christmas in six different decades. And I've not looked. He didn't act, did he? I mean, he acted in the 60s. I didn't look in the 60s.
Oh, he did one in the 60s.
Okay, seven decades, because he has something in the can for 2022. So he's done 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2020s. This guy, he understands, he clearly likes doing Christmas material. And so it is always a pleasure, as you said, Alonzo, to see him. But the rest of this is just crazy, and not in a fun way, just in like overstuffed and underdeveloped way. So no, it's a no for me, unfortunately, even with Ed Asner.
Let's get to all the feels. The part of the show we talk about what in this movie gave us feels. Alonzo.
I had character actor feels, because this is a pretty great cast. In addition to Ed Asner,
Fred Gwynn,
the great Fred Gwynn, who is getting to be very Fred Gwynn, like just lots of perturbed, deadpan, long takes. Like, he's having a blast, and it's fun to watch him. Just the whole comic timing of him, like, picking up the phone. He's all excited about coming home finally. He's got an armful of gifts, and there's like, it's for you. And just, you know, he knows he's got to go back. I was like, that's delicious. Academy Award nominee Susan Terrell, as Lucky's ex, the woman who he left to holding the bag.
She's giving a very serious performance in this film.
Yeah, well, she's an intense actress. Yeah. And it's like, you know, like, she's been in Andy Warhol stuff. So it's like not somebody I would have expected to see pop up in a Disney Christmas television project, but there you go. Even the chief of that Fred Gwynn reports to. Did you guys ever watch Police Squad?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh my goodness,
that's Frank Drebin's partner.
Unbelievable! I knew I recognized him. You don't even know what Police Squad is, Brandon?
No idea.
Have you heard of the movie The Naked Gun?
Yes.
Okay, this was the TV show that basically Naked Gun originally called Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, Police Squad was a 6-episode series that the airplane guys did that was hilarious and brilliant, but like you had to pay too much attention to it for television, and it didn't go. But then it became the Naked Gun movies. Anyway, basically the guy who is Fred Gwynn's boss in this movie on the TV show is the equivalent of
O.J. Simpson in the movie.
In the Naked Gun movies, because he's Drebin's partner.
That's right.
Those were my feels.
Man,
my feels are the first 5 minutes of this movie. Like, the whole thing gave me feels, from Ed Asner breaking out in his Santa suit to getting a full intro. We're seeing this Christmas parade. Santa Claus is coming to town, is playing over top of it. It's just all working for me. I loved all of that. And so I was just like, this is awesome. And so the whole thing gave me feels.
Weirdly enough, my feels is the very last scene of the movie, and it's purely because of Ed Asner. The movie ends with him, what I believe is directing a prison choir, still in his still in his Santa outfit.
He got straight to work.
He got there and was like, I'm not changing.
No.
But he's you know, full conducting Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it is just absurdist. But then the camera goes to his face, and it is just the face of a changed man. Like, I don't know how to describe that, but the performance he's giving, he's all in that he is a different guy now. He doesn't care that he's in prison, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful performance, and I was like, man, this was that's really good, as weird as that scene is. So yeah.
Well, that's the challenge of playing Scrooge. You know, you spend 80% of the movie being like, and then at the end you have to just be exploding with joy.
That's right.
And not all actors nail that pivot, but I would love to see Ed Asner's Scrooge, because he could totally do it.
Oh, gosh. He would crush it.
I would love that. Sure. There's not enough. There's not enough Christmas carols out there. Let's do one more.
I'm in.
Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back with the Wait What's and the other segment, ABC 123s. The whole mic. <mark. laughs>
everybody. Looking forward to ABC's 1, 2, 3.
Oh, it's going
to
be
really
good.
Looking forward really to that.
Good. Let's get to the Wait What Spider Show. We talk about what in this movie made us go wait what, Alonzo.
Okay, let's talk about this Christmas parade. So Ed Asner is in the prison working in the laundry. The TV is on. He sees the Christmas parade and they talk about how they're going to retire the throne and the reindeer. And he goes, ah, that's where my money is hidden. So that's sort of the whole inciting incident of him having to escape. So he's in the laundry watching the parade on TV. Then the Salvation Army shows up and has the party for the prisoners, and that's where he's able to grab the Santa suit and whatever. Then he escapes from prison in the Santa suit on foot. You see him pass by a sign that says town is 10 miles away. Yeah. He gets to town and the parade is still going on.
That's right. Yeah. Bad ankle. Don't forget bad ankle there.
Also bad ankle. How many days long is this parade?
Long enough for a man to watch you on TV and then run 10 miles with a bad ankle in a Santa suit.
Hobble into town. It's perfect. 10 miles.
Yep.
Yeah. Oof. Okay. So first I wrote down, is somebody going to bathe that poor dog?
Good gosh. Like,
he's so the dirtiest dog. But then, oh no, it's okay. Cause the dog died.
That's so right.
What would have been the point in bathing him?
We are this far into this episode. In the middle of this movie, a dog dies in the hands of a child.
Yeah.
Welcome home, ABC family. Jiminy Disney, Christmas.
Everybody. I went to doesthedogdie.com. They do not have a listing for the Christmas star, but they should.
Really should. Are you kidding me?
The public has a right to
know. I was not happy.
doesthedogdie.com is a great resource.
It really is.
Absolutely.
Not only for dog dying, but also for a lot of other things that you might be bothered by watching movies.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah, they have a whole list. It's like everything. Like, does somebody throw up in this movie? It'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's does pretty
a child's
phenomenal.
Toy get smashed? Like, yes.
It's very,
very, very
specific. And it does make you think, like, who's got a problem with that that specific thing? Like, does someone eat a Cheeto? Like, yep, they sure do.
Who's wondering?
I'm out. That's a deal breaker. Yes. Look, I don't judge. We've all got our breaking points.
That's right.
So at the end, you know, the Santa has bought the building for the tenants so they don't have to leave. And he's sort of like forced Rene Auberginois, the mean landlord, into being nice and being nice to his son. And like, you know, it's dogs and apartments and all this stuff. And Susan Terrell gets a dress. Like there was not, you couldn't throw her some cash.
You can be pretty again.
Yeah, it's like lucky moves are high and dry. Here's an outfit.
Oh, I'll be honest. Man. I thought when I saw the dress, I assumed I had missed something.
Yeah.
Like she mentioned a dress. Like I just assumed I missed it.
Yeah, not even a great dress, but that's beside the point. Like just give her some cash.
It's been a while since he's had to buy a dress, you know?
The whole ending is just bam, 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 one crazy thing after another. And I'm going to say this. You cannot end your movie with Hark the Herald Angels Sing when It's a Wonderful Life already did that.
Yeah.
Like when somebody's, if one lady sits down at the piano and starts hammering out Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it's like, no.
That's the thing. That's the thing you just can't do. You can repeat almost anything.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing and you can't do Auld Lang Syne. Like, It's a Wonderful Life owns those. Find another public domain song to take us out with because that's just not going to work.
But you also can't do Merry Christmas 11 times. That is taken as well. Reunite
and 12
and 13 New Year's.
13 New Year's, of course.
That's right. Yeah. I've got a couple. One at towards the beginning of this movie, the nice family sitting at the table, and the dad sings something, and then all the kids start laughing, and the mom goes, "Not at the table."
No, listen. This revelry don't is for rich folks.
Don't you sing? Don't you sing at the table?
Oh, man.
All I was thinking when I saw the chair open up with the gears and the whatnot is that chair must weigh a ton.
Yeah.
And they are just wheeling that boy around. Yeah, that's got gears and stuff that just like are mechanically opening up if you put in the secret passcode. Like just a phenomenal amount of weight has to be involved with that chair. Enough cannot be said about this train and why it happened the way that it did. So guys, I can't even tell you really. You have to just see the train scene because it just doesn't make a lick of sense why it's there. It's just a totally different movie.
What's crazy is they set up the train being real. Like they legitimately, he calls, he does a bid on the payphone. He knows the train's going to be there. You see him getting on it, and you're like, this is all part of his plan. It's a great plan. And then the train disappears, and he's laying on the tracks. How much of this has been in his head the whole time?
You could set up Ghost Train in Act One. Oh. You could have the partner, some kind of haunting spiritual something.
I am here for a Ghost Train.
This is out of the blue.
Like, that's right.
We have not seen a single timetable for Ghost Train, and it just arrived.
Well, the train is established as real through a phone call, and it stopped. Like, there's too much of it that they set up as it being real. They don't establish Ghost Train. Instead, they try to do the opposite as much as they possibly can. Establish real train. That's what they go with.
I'll be there for you. You got anything? I'm done. This is not a ghost train.
The best soy latte that you ever had, and me.
Now there she's back on the ghost train. Yeah. Is it real? I don't know. Yeah.
What if we killed a dog?
Half a million smackers, yeah. That would be a line he would actually say. Train would actually say half a million smackers.
Throne, yeah.
All of these are things Train from Train would say.
Yes, absolutely.
Why not?
I did not catch the Christmas parade being that long, and the reason I didn't is because on the broadcast, they say, yeah, they're retiring all of this, and the reason they are is for next year's Christmas Robot Land.
Yes.
That's what they say. They say next year's Christmas Robot Land, and I couldn't get over it. They have been doing this parade televised the same way for years and years, and they've decided to pivot to Christmas Robot Land. That's what's happening next year?
For the kids, you
know. For the kids.
They have the kids. A throne that is worth what I can only assume is millions of dollars. Yeah. And they're like, let's bring in the robots.
Yeah, this is a better
Toss
idea.
This garbage.
Bro, this is awful. All this tradition, nonsense. Can we talk about this country club? I mean, prison. This is as minimum security a prison as I've ever seen. Everyone has a private cell with a bunk. The Salvation Army party, you just mingle around with the citizens. Everybody who's in prison wears something slightly different, like just whatever you want, as long as it's like bluish. You know, there's like one guard up top with a gun with like no scope on it. Like, just do whatever you need to do. I mean, it's on you guys. It's on you guys that this guy escaped as Santa. I mean, you could claim he Shawshanked that thing and had been working on it for years because that beard took work. You know, he'd been playing this whole time.
Okay, wait. I need to put a fork into this. Real beard or fake beard?
It looks real to me.
I thought it was real.
Dave said it has to be real because it's not perfect.
That's right.
You know, and I wasn't sure because it could go either way.
So Asner grew the beard for the part?
I guess.
Wow.
Which that's commitment. But here's the thing. If it is real, why do they not, after John Sumner, who is the name of somebody I went to high school with, after John Sumner pulls the beard off of fake Parade Santa, why doesn't he try to pull Ed Asner's beard and find out that, it's real, and that would be the way that convinces him that he's actually Santa?
Yeah. That makes too much sense because he could have said Jack the Ripper Fatso again, which Jack was our favorite line from the movie.
What was John Sumner like in high school?
He was very nice.
Really?
He was a good guy. All right,
John.
He was on newspaper with me.
He would have never said Jack the Ripper Fatso.
No,
he
wouldn't. No. Played football. Hell of a guy.
Hell of a guy. That's what I love.
That's what he's going to say on his tombstone.
Played football. Hell of a guy.
So Sumner in the film finds a dog in the trash heap over there, and in the very next scene is walking him on a leash. And did the dog come with a leash? Was there like a sign that said, hey, there's a leash right over there, help me out? Usually if you find a dog that's just a stray, there is not a leash to be found, but this dog comes with a leash, which is wonderful.
Much less a collar.
Yeah, and this family agrees to let the dog in during the day, but they have to retie him up on the stairs every day. Like, is this movie called The Christmas Star of Dog Abuse? Like, what are we doing to this point? It's freezing outside. He can come in by the fire just to see what he's missing. But then we're taking him back out and putting him on a post.
Don't wash him. That's right. Whatever you do.
No baths, but hey, come in. You could be warm, but no. Maybe that's why he died. You kept changing the temperature by 50 degrees on him. Good gracious. Are you kidding me? There is a delayed scream in this movie that is represents some of the worst filmmaking I've ever seen. The little kids sneak into the toy store by all the other kids distracting with a carol. We'll get to there in a second. Yeah. And they hide, and then they come out, and there's a mannequin, but it's a black mannequin. And the two kids, you see a shot of them, look at the mannequin, and then you see the mannequin, a pan up of the mannequin, and it gets to the face, and it's just a mannequin. And then you go back to the kids, and then count like 1 second, and then the girl screams. And I don't know why she would have screamed like 30 seconds after she saw this, but that's like what she did.
Panda screaming by the water cooler.
Yeah, panda by the water cooler is what it's like. But yeah. Can we talk about this gambit where these two kids sneak into this store past a security guard by getting a bunch of other kids to carol? And what they do is they bring this gaggle of kids. They start caroling. They're terrible. And then the little girl goes up and hands the guard a caroling book and then sneaks past him. And then when we come back, like 10 minutes later, he's leading them in caroling to him. He's teaching them how to carol to him. It is. It's like something out of like an Abbott and Costello bit. Like it is legitimately like a Three Stooges thing. Like where they just, you know, let's distract this guy by getting him to conduct the children's choir.
They knew that guard really wanted to be a choir master.
Yeah, for sure. And then let's talk about the half million smackers one more time. If smackers are dollars, and that's what we think they are, there's no way all of them are in that little bag that kid is carrying around weightlessly. Like he's carrying around that bag like there's nothing in it but cotton candy. And there's supposed to be half a million dollars in there. I don't think so. Those are my weight what's.
Half a million.
Maybe they're $100,000 bills.
There's five of them. Yeah. Hey.
It's time for ABC 123, the part of the show we wonder what could have been, maybe having some clarity questions that we still have. Alonzo, what are you still wondering about?
I just wondered, can that star testify at McNichol's parole hearing? Because he was supposed to get out in 6 months, but then he escaped because he was afraid that his money was going to go away because of Christmas Robot Land. And I'm just wondering, like, does this redemption, we get him, score him any points, or is he now back in forever?
No, that's fair. One of the things that McNichol does when he's trying to right all of his wrongs is he scares John's dad into, you know, becoming a fan of Christmas and getting the people to keep their apartments and stuff. And he does this by becoming ghost Santa, in a sense. He knocks on a door, and there is a smoke behind him. And my question is, did he buy a smoke machine for that event?
And that guy's not terrified. He's just excited about Christmas after it.
Yeah,
too,
after he
wears,
he's just like, he's just changed man. But there is a smoke coming in, like a smoke machine would. Because I don't know. He's buying stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing stuff. Did he buy a smoke machine? I don't know. It's the only thing
maybe
I can think
of. Maybe he just set fire to a couple of cartons of Viceroy's or something.
He could have given him like a couple hundred G's. He's like, hey, here's $200,000. Everybody gets their own apartment or something.
Could have done that.
Yeah. You know, never know. My only two, one is he back in jail because he gets to wear a Santa outfit at the end of the movie like he did the whole movie long, so he didn't bother to change. But the bigger one is there's a scene in this movie that's designed to be like just a little teaser of physical comedy, and I don't know why it's in the movie, but I also don't know why the character – he's hiding on a stack of firewood, and he's got a blanket over him, and the dad comes downstairs to look at the boiler, and there's a piece of wood on the ground, and he takes the wood, and he tosses it on top of Ed Asner. Now, it hurts. It's funny. The kids know he's under there. Now, that's fine. Whatever. But then, while the dad is looking at the boiler, Ed Asner reaches out, takes the wood, and places it down on the ground so it can be thrown on him again.
And so his hand can be stepped
yes,
on.
Yes. If you're under this blanket and you get a piece of wood on you, you just got to hope for the best, right? Like, you can't, like, reach out, expose your arm, and then go, let's do one more. I think the second take will be funnier. It just doesn't make any sense. I need to know, have some explanation on how that scene exists in this movie.
It made me laugh. That's all I know.
That's true.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Boy, oh boy, we're getting close. You can feel it in the air, can't you?
Sure can.
Pumpkin spice, the holly jollies, it's all happening right now.
Right around the corner.
So excited. Alonzo, would you like to leave us with some words of wisdom today?
I think this movie does remind us that a lot of tenants this year have been finding themselves in precarious situations. So again, if you have the means to support your local mutual aid organization, please do. And on a purely selfish note, I'll Be Home for Christmas Movies is now available wherever you get books.
Wow, it's out.
I mean, this is it. It's real deal. Yeah. Go buy a copy. Do it now. Start your Monday off right.
So exciting. Thank you to everybody who already bought a copy. It means so much to be New York Times bestseller. So thank you so much for helping us do that. It's just so
it's a dream
good.
Come true.
It's a dream come true.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
Way to manifest.
We spoke it into existence.
Already sent my new social security info in.
Absolutely.
I'm changing my name. New York Times bestseller.
Was it like you can now afford that pool? Beforehand, it was just hoping for the best.
Just credit card debt.
And now, here we are.
Man.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
We're about to play some ads that help keep the lights on here in the studio. Don't feel like you have to listen to them. You can press stop right now. Thank you so much for your support. Merry Christmas.